When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Wow!
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you?
I'm feeling good, Chris. I've got a pret-a-manger meaty pot. I've just eaten the egg, and I've got the sausages for later.
Wow. You and your decadent lifestyle.
That's my morning.
As a radio DJ.
No,
is pret-a-manger a UK-only thing, or do we have that everywhere in the world?
We have them definitely in... I think I've seen some in Hong Kong. But I think, yeah, it mainly is an English thing, yeah. And to be honest, they seem to be mostly concentrated around train stations.
For listeners that don't know what pret-a-manger is, what is it? How would you describe it in
a
sentence?
It's a sandwich shop with several breakfast and patisserie options that have a lot of brushed metal in there. There's a lot of aluminium in a pret-a-manger, but they do some nice stuff. They vary up their fare quite a lot.
Have you actually finished your meaty pot, or are you going to be eating it whilst we do the podcast?
No, I will have one at the end. I will finish my meaty pot at the end. But if you permit me to drink my Starbucks, hashtag pay your tax, that'll be all right, won't it? If I do a little slurp every now and again, off mic.
Unbelievable. Western culture. You, Starbucks in one hand, meaty
Starbucks.
Pot in the other.
Starbucks.
Meanwhile, there's me being woken up by a ruddy typhoon. There's been so many typhoons recently, it's driving me insane. This rather troublesome typhoon that's just come through Japan called Typhoon Trami. I don't know what that name means, or Hootenhead Trami, T-R-A-M-I. I don't know where the name comes from or who gets the lovely job of naming them, but it's not been a fun typhoon. I didn't even... Where I live in North Japan, we get like... We don't bear the brunt of the typhoons. They usually hit Okinawa hard.
Right.
And there's footage, if you look online, you can see cars being blown away by this typhoon. It's said to be one of the most powerful ones since 1992, I think. And the footage is terrifying. You know, there's roofs being blown away, cars being flipped over, people who can't stand up in it. But yeah, by the time it got here, it died down a bit, but it was still very noisy, and it blew over a tree just outside my apartment, actually. So, yeah, it was pretty daunting. Certainly the most powerful typhoon I've ever endured or tried to sleep through. But yeah, typhoons, Japan, woo.
I can't imagine how much stress that puts on local council kind of like money. I mean, just getting trees righted and roofs replaced and insurance paid out and all that stuff. I can't imagine all the rescue effort and making sure that all of the old people are safe and stuff. I can't imagine how much that costs to a municipal council's budget.
Well, I mean, the worst thing was they shut down all the trains in Tokyo as well in the run-up to it. All the Shinkansens and local trains were cancelled, which would have blown a massive hole through the economy. There's footage of Shibuya Crossing, the world's busiest crossing, just like laying silent. And I saw a video of a live video feed of Shibuya Crossing, and just some random guy goes out into the middle of the crossing on his own and starts like jumping up and down like a clown because he was so delighted to have it all to himself. So I suppose The one good thing to come out of the typhoon is it made somebody's day.
Yeah, I think so.
A dream came true.
Before he was blown into Tokyo Bay. Yeah.
Mary Poppins. In terms of topic today, I thought we would tackle host clubs, hostess clubs, because of an article I saw. Before we get to the article, though, there's something else that kind of links into it. We got an email in our wonderful fax machine. That doesn't really make sense. Do emails go to a fax machine? I don't know.
You could probably
we
do that.
Play it as we go.
With a modern printer, you could probably do it, I reckon. I used one of the big printers at my radio station yesterday to scan in a load of... My business banking account statements because
using
I needed
office
to
equipment for
using
personal
office
gain.
Equipment for personal gain. Well, not personal gain. Personal sending them to my feckless accountant. I just sort of thought if I go on holiday with a mate, they'll always write something embarrassing when they reimburse me, like send the money back. Effectively, if I book the hotel or the car or something.
Example.
Spices. Somebody wrote spices. Somebody wrote big dildo, and another person wrote sex festival. So I've got to go to my accountant and say I didn't go to a sex festival. I didn't buy a particularly expensive dildo, and I'm not, you know, buying drugs. Spice.
Once again, our family-friendly demographic.
We are not family-friendly.
Destroyed,
especially with this
the
topic.
Stories of Pete Donaldson's expenses.
Especially with the short topic we've got.
Bloody hell. Well, I suppose this topic kind of fits in with that to some extent. We got an email from somebody called Amanda. Amanda said, it's just an article headline. The subject of the email was, why nearly half of Japanese under 40s are virgins?
Because they've
email
never
was
met
very
me.
Simple. Was, oh God. And your exotic dildo collection. And there was one line in the email and it just says, what? Is this true? Please advise. Thank you, Amanda. This article of how everyone in Japan... seems to be a virgin these days. I didn't take it at face value. I don't trust everything I read in the Daily Mail, and I don't even read the Daily Mail. God, it's the worst. Anyway, I'm not going to go off a tangent there. a rant about the Daily Mail. It's true, actually. Around 44% of unmarried women and 42% of men are virgins. Unmarried, that is. They're virgins. And... around 60% of women and 70% of men in Japan aged 18 to 34 are single, which is a pretty big amount in terms of virginity. That's quite a large amount of the population. This was a study undertaken by the National Institute of Population and Social Security Research, which sounds like something out of 1984, George Orwell's terrifying vision of the future. National Institute of Population and Social Security Research. Why do you think it is, though, Pete? Why is everybody a virgin?
I think here in England, I think we're cajoled into thinking that you can't be happy alone, and it's sad to be alone, and... it's great to drink and fuck and all this stuff, like in Western culture. Our television, our entertainment is a lot more overtly sexual. I think in Japan, from what I've seen, it is sexualized, but there's not quite so much, I don't know, cleavage on show. There's not quite so much kind of like bums on show. It's more fetish, less sexualized, I would sort of say. I'm probably getting this massively wrong, but I think in England, I think in the West, even though we've got this stiff upper lip, we're kind of between two pillars. All of our music videos are hyper-sexualized. You're not going to see the sort of filth in a Nicki Minaj video that you're going to see in, I don't know, an AKB-47 video.
Well,
and that sort of thing. So we're kind of told all the time that you need to be fucking, you need to be having sex, you need to be doing this. But in Japan, maybe it's a little bit under the covers. It's a little quieter, and you never see people like kissing on the tube. You never see people kissing in the street, thing. It's just not as open. It's not quite as sexualized, maybe.
Yeah, public displays of affection are a bit of a no-no in Japan. I felt awkward in the past when I was dating my Japanese girlfriend, just walking around holding hands or kissing in public. You know, it always. I remember seeing some sort of foreign couple. Just kissing somewhere in central Tokyo once and everyone was staring. But of course, your exotic answer is probably wrong. My answer, or the answer that I think is more scientifically accurate, is thoroughly boring. It's actually to do with long working hours and money worries, among reasons, mainly. Off your 5-minute discussion or 5-minute monologue about sexuality and culture.
And
no,
fucking,
it's money worries.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that there used to be a practice. I don't think it happens quite so much anymore. But for a date, men would pay a certain amount of money to the woman. Just for a date, back in the day. It doesn't happen quite so much anymore, but it's just kind of like, if you're going to take my time up and you might be an absolute rotter, you pay me for your time. It's good, sir.
Well, I mean, that kind of goes in line with host culture, snack bar culture, right, in Japan, which is the article that I wanted to get onto. This is an article that I'd read, and I don't know if they're connected. It's what we just discussed and the kind of host culture in Japan. I don't think there's much of a connection. I think the reason there is a great deal of virginity and a lot of single people in Japan, it's just the pressures of life, and, you know, because the Japanese economy hasn't really, it's been relatively stagnant for 20 years now. They call it the lost two decades. There's been no, like, increase in wages and things. So people are under a lot of pressure, and they don't want to get in a relationship and have a family and have children when they've got that kind of fear and the worries of money and finances hanging over their heads.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we've got Roland, King of the Hosts. And this is the article. The article title was Roland, King of the Hosts, top earner and most successful host club host in Tokyo, who rakes in $375,000 per month.
My God.
And his job is to basically flirt with women that come into his host club for hours on end. This guy, he has the record, I think, for making the most amount of money in one night as a host in a host club. He managed to get people in a club to spend 10 million yen in one night, which is $88,000. Now, granted, it was his birthday, so his patrons came in and obviously wanted to buy him some exotic drinks and, you know, praise his brilliance as a club host. But that's still a phenomenal amount of money. To think in one night $88,000 was spent is incredible. What do you know of a host club, Pete? What do you know of Japan's
very little. The idea of kind of monetizing women's affections in such an overt and obvious way, I find fascinating. Can I have some money now? Is just a weird dynamic. I don't really understand it. But you do see them occasionally in Kabukicho and I think Osaka. You sort of see the guys usually wearing like really 70s tight suits, but with flared trousers and big collars. You just see them sort of hanging outside clubs trying to get women in to, you know, chat to them and give them money effectively. It's a strange discipline.
Well historically, hostess bars, obviously, run by women. I think the host bar culture came about around the 60s. The first one opened in Kabukicho, the red light district in Tokyo, which you just mentioned, in Shinjuku. And these days, that's kind of the capital of host club culture, Kabukura hostess culture in general. But host culture came about, supposedly, because women's desires to be taken care of by Japanese men and be loved back wasn't really happening as much as they'd like. And these days, I think there are far more Japanese businesswomen that have a lot more money to spend and are willing to do so in a host club, where you would typically spend on average $500 to $600 if you go into these places.
Jeez.
And when you do go in, you go in. Now, I've never been to a host club. I've been to a hostess club and I've been to snack bars, and I'll get onto the difference in a minute. But in a host club, you go in, you get a little menu, you point at the guy you want to talk to first. Typically, throughout the evening, you'll be there anywhere between 2 hours to 4 or 5 hours. And the hosts, the guys in the club, will rotate around and you'll get to meet and sit and drink with every single one of them during the course of the night. These guys are masters of conversation. They're a little bit flirty. They're good at chatting. Typically aged between 18 to 23 on average. I think Roland himself is actually 26. Their job is basically to get you to spend money on exotic drinks like champagne, whiskey, get in, spend all your money, and they take a cut of the money that's spent. So they work on a kind of commission basis. I really do want to go in. I'd love to go in and film one. I probably could if I wanted to, but something about the whole concept makes me a little bit weirded out, I guess. And when you see what these guys are dressed like, they're very snazzy, often quite feminine as well, aren't they? Like Roland himself. If you look up Roland, there's a you can find him on Instagram. I think he's literally just Roland or Host TV on YouTube. He's the host of a YouTube channel about host culture. But Roland himself has had a lot of plastic surgery. He's got very long hair. When I showed him to Pete earlier, Pete, you said he looked like David Bowie.
He looked like a weird alien boy who's fallen down to Earth and has decided to take all of the money off women. I mean, at this point, you sort of say...
What a great portrait of a man, yeah.
He's incredibly well sculpted. He has had plastic surgery, he admits. But, yeah, what a strange-looking man.
Apparently, when he got the plastic surgery done, he was started turning over double the amount that he normally did. And now he spends up to $2,000 a month just to maintain it. Which is a lot of money, but not a lot when you consider he makes, you know, tens of thousands of dollars every month.
Yeah, what kind of maintenance are you getting for $2,000 a month? That's what I would say. Plumping,
yeah,
fillers.
Botox.
Yeah, it must be some kind of Botox. He's only 26, though. And Japanese people aren't known for looking haggard, are they? They're quite young-looking, aren't they?
I know, right?
Weird.
I think that's the reason he's so successful. Is something quite unique about him. He does look like more like an anime character than a real person to some extent. I'm sure he's a lovely guy. I'm sure he must be bloody good at talking to be turning over so much money. I want to meet him myself and have some sort of flirtatious conversation with him to see how he does it, what the secrets are.
I'd certainly take a few pointers from him.
He's also got a Porsche, and apparently he likes to live in hotels because that suits his lifestyle better than having a home.
Oh. Again. So he doesn't like tidy. He's like Jose Mourinho, who's been living in the Lowry for the last 3 years in Manchester.
It's the same.
He's exactly the same.
Mourinho. Infamous manager. Yes, they're the same.
Incredible.
When we meet up for our cycle, who knows, maybe we can pop into a host club because we're going to be going to Osaka anyway. So... We could do it.
I read once about there's only like ever been two or three gaijin hosts because you kind of have to be very familiar not only with Japanese language but also like slang and also local variations of the language and stuff.
I mean, I've been into. You're right. There's not many, as far as I know, aren't many foreign hosts. There are quite a few foreign hostess girls working hostess bars in certain areas in Tokyo, not across the country, but certainly in Tokyo. Actually, a lot of hostess girls are from the Philippines, from my experience, what I found. So it depends. When you say foreign, I guess you mean Western.
Western, yeah. I mean, we sort of think that this is, isn't this crazy that women would spend money on chatting to men? I mean, let's just say 70% of the entirety of the entertainment industry in Japan will very much be male-focused. Maid cafes, host bars, strip clubs, sex brothels.
Yes. I mean, you've been to a snack bar.
Steady. I thought you said sex brothel.
I took you to one. I took you to one, didn't I? No, it's not a brothel. Luckily, we took you to one. How would you describe the experience?
I didn't have a great time because it was a horse bar. To be fair, it was the only bar in town. It seemed it was a very quiet town, wasn't it? And we went to this place, and I didn't know it was a snack bar. If you want to tell the people what a snack bar is,
so hostess bars, you go in, and again, you have this menu system. You'll choose the girl you want to meet. Usually it's a girl you talk to regularly if you go there every week or every month or whatever. They sit with you, they flirt with you, they pour your drinks, they light your cigarettes, just basically massage your ego in general, make you feel brilliant and masculine. That's a hostess bar. I've not been to many of those, and I don't enjoy going to them. Let me get that out there. I don't enjoy going to them. But I've been to snack bars quite a lot. Snack bars are usually a sort of cheaper variant. They're a lot more frequent outside of Tokyo. Certainly where I used to live in Sakata, where I took you, there's tons of snack bars because they're cheapish. You go in, you get a bit of whiskey or some shochu, some Japanese sake, for a reasonable price. And then you sit there and they just pour your drinks and talk to you and you sing karaoke and eat crappy snacks that you actually get addicted to quite a bit if you're there for a few hours. I've stuffed myself with a fair few 100-yen chocolates. Many an evening there. But it is the only entertainment there is a lot of the time in the Japanese countryside. Certainly that town in Sakata, there's not a whole lot. There are no nightclubs or discos or anything. That's what people do. You know, you go to an izakaya or a restaurant, and then you go to a snack bar afterwards. So the one I took you to was a popular one in the middle of the town. And yeah, we went in, didn't we? And we were greeted by about three or four women. Snack bars also, you find the staff are a little bit older as well. Hostess bars, they have, you know, women that I guess you would associate with being models or something like that. Whereas snack bars are a lot more casual. The women are just much more natural, usually in their 40s. Many of them are often retired from hostess bars as well. And yeah, they're a lot more cheaper and informal than hostess bars, snack bars. So I prefer them. I don't mind it. My friend loves to go in them all the time just to hang out and chat with people. I've always found that as a foreigner going into a snack bar, the conversations get very repetitive because it is basically the same, you know, three questions. Where are you from? Why are you in Japan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Harry Potter. And that's basically the three topics of conversation. And it kind of runs dry after that.
It's hard to sort of overstate how normalised snack bars and, to a lesser extent, hostess bars and maid cafes are in Japan. I mean, when I was told that it was a snack bar, the one that you took me in, I was like, no, I don't like this at all. This is the sex industry. But you go in and it's like everyone's just regarding it as being normal. And I guess, you know, if you hang out with mates who, you know, like a topless bar or something in London, maybe, you know, that's also normalised to a certain extent. But culturally in society, the idea of a snack bar, it's just people talking. I'm not 100% comfortable with it. I don't think you are either, to be honest, Chris. But it's interesting that it's so normalised, I think it's fair to say.
I think, yeah, I've been to quite a few over the years, especially in Sakata.
You've been there too long.
Where I used to live. Yeah, I mean, I still feel a bit uncomfortable and weird going in, but there's nothing shady to it, really. You know, you go. It's just the idea of sitting there, and you go in with like two friends, and then you'll have one or two women come and just sit with you and talk to you and pour drinks. And the comments are often, I don't know, it just feels very superficial. You're fully aware that you're paying for these, you know, women to come and sit with you and pour your drinks and talk to you. And that kind of, they'll say to you, can I have a drink? And you'll be like, yeah, sure, have what you want. And then you're paying for their drinks, right? And then it gets expensive very quickly. I'll never forget the look on your face. I remember sitting there, it was me, I think Natsuki on my left, and then there was just you sitting opposite me, sandwiched between two women who were trying to force a microphone into your hand, and you looked so uncomfortable because, you had that image of it being some sort of sex brothel-esque atmosphere.
Sex brothel.
But it was really just casual place, yeah. And then, of course, you brought the house down with your rendition of, I can't remember, I think it was a Backstreet Boys song.
It was Backstreet's Back All Right. All right.
Of course it was.
We'll have to sing some karaoke once again when we get back, when we get together. We'll have to have a couple of drinks in between your biking.
In a snack bar.
In a snack bar. Because last time I think I sang karaoke with you guys, Natsuki went up and sang some horrific Clash, I think. some terrible
Rock
Clash.
The Casbah by
I think
the
he sang Rock the Casbah. And I think I might have sang a David Bowie track. I got a little round of applause from the bar patrons. Never got that before.
Yeah, I think your definition of round of applause is different from mine. I think that was more like a slow clap.
They were putting their fist into their hand like that. I'm going to beat you up for that. Abusing the thin white joke like that.
That's the thing at a snack bar. You could be an atrocious singer, but everyone will cheer you on. And it's not good because you go in and there's usually some guy in his 50s or 60s who's obscenely drunk, like hunched over, clasping a microphone, ruining the room with the sounds of his dying cat voice. An atmosphere comprised 40% of smoke, his awful voice ringing out, everyone cheering him on. It's a weird atmosphere to be in, but one that you won't miss if you travel to one of... If you pay a visit to one of the 100,000 snack bars across Japan.
Love it.
Would you recommend it?
I'd recommend popping in just to see what's going on. It's not... Again, with the... with the caveat ringing in your ear that it is kind of normalised and it's not as tawdry as you might think as a Westerner.
Yeah, go in with an open mind and try not to feel too uncomfortable is the best advice I'd have, yeah. But you'll often hear them before you see them. You'll hear, like, someone screaming karaoke. It'll be muffled because they're behind a closed door, obviously. That's another thing about a snack bar. Like, there are no windows, right? So you feel very contained, don't you? You know, the doors are closed, there's no windows, there's no way in or out, apart from that one door. And you often feel, like, very trapped in, especially with all the cigarette smoke and the noise and whatever. It's a very, I don't know, claustrophobic-style atmosphere. But, yeah, give it a shot. Give it a shot. But those are the key differences between a host bar, hostess bar, and a snack bar.
Mm.
Snack bars are cheapest. Hostess bars, you're going to be looking at $300 a night. Host clubs, you're going to be looking at probably more. And, yeah, if you feel daring, why not go and give one a shot?
Mm. What's a Kyabakura?
Well, that is basically a hostess club, Kyabakura.
Right, okay.
It's a gairaigo, a foreign borrowed word that sounds... Well, what do you think it means? Kyabakura.
Kyabakura.
In English.
No.
Where's
Kamakura? Have I been to Kamakura? Is that a place? Or is it a thing?
Yes, that's the ancient town outside of Tokyo. That's different. That's not Kyabakura.
Oh,
think
well.
About it. Kyabakura. Kyabakura.
Oh, as in bar.
Yeah, in English, what's the word?
This is the problem.
No.
I can never get the Romaji nonsense. I can never sort of go, what is that meant to mean? Bar. Well, bar's in there. Kia.
Well, it's not. Host bar, yeah. Host bar in Japanese is hostokurabu.
Hostokurabu.
So host club.
Yeah. And, and snack bar is... Snackabar.
Snackabar.
But
Kyabakura is Kyabakura. But Kyabakura, I think it's derived from the word cabaret, as in cabaret.
Oh, cabaret.
How could you not get that?
I was never going to get that. From cabaret to Kyabakura.
I don't know why my image of North England is cabaret. Is that a wrong image to have?
What, like working men's club, men with big kipper ties doing bawdy racist jokes? Yeah, pretty much.
The town of Hartlepool, Pete's hometown, ladies and gentlemen. That's what goes on there.
I've been trying my very best to remember a term that you used in the previous podcast, which is shitsure shimasu. Like, can I come in? Sort of, can I come in or apologise? What is it? But I can't say the shits quick enough. Shitsurishimasu.
It's kind of, you kind of just cut out the I sound altogether. Mm. It's like shitsurishimasu.
Shitsurishimasu.
You say it when you go into a room.
Mm.
So if I went into the staff room, the main staff room, the office room at my school where I used to work, where the administrators were and where the principal was, you'd go in, you'd sort of say, oh, shitsurishimasu, I'm being sorry for being rude. You're kind of apologising for interrupting something.
Because there's a lot of bars that you go into are incredibly quiet, and you're usually like opening a door and sort of saying, oh, hello, can I come in and have a drink, please, or a bit of food?
You wouldn't use that phrase when going into somewhere like that. It's more of a formal term, you know, going into somewhere, a place for authority. Students would often say it when coming into the staff room if they wanted to speak to teachers. If you're going into a host club, just say, hello, I'm Pete, I'm from Igirisu. Drink on a guy, shimasu. And then things will happen. In that exact dialogue.
I'm up for
it. Do that and you'll be straight in. Yeah, just when you go into a bar, you sort of just awkwardly pop in and say hello, and then just how many people you have coming.
Mm.
And
you're in, you're there. I still feel very nervous going in, though. That's the main thing.
Well, again, I think it's just the closed door culture, right?
Yeah.
With the snack bars, they're in buildings where you have like 30 snack bars per floor. They're often pretty small, run by one woman usually in her 40s or 50s, mama-san, a mother figure, and then there's usually kind of two or three younger staff that are in their 20s or 30s. And that's what a snack bar is. They're very small. So you have them crammed in these buildings. You go into one building. You'll see signs for literally dozens of snack bars just outside the front, neon signs. It's quite captivating. If you walk through a nightlife district anywhere in Japan, any town, you'll see loads of them with all sort of weird names. Like my favourite one in Sendai, there's a hostess club called Secret Sexy Club or something.
Yes.
I put it in a video once because I just thought that was a great idea. They have things like Happy Time or Club Peach or Club Magic. They have like really exotic, comical names. Like, maybe on the cycle, I'll just go around chronicling all these weird names because they're absolutely hilarious. I love them. I don't know who thinks them up or how they do it. Probably just straight into Google Translate.
Yeah.
I'll just find something.
What's in our club? Yeah. Well, it's secret and it's sexy, so bang that in there. Lovely.
The first rule of Secret Sexy Club. We do not talk about Secret Sexy Club, apart from the 30-foot sign out the front, which was... Yeah, there's just a massive sign out the front of Secret Sexy Club, giving away the fact that it is a Secret Sexy Club. That's my favourite thing about Secret Sexy Club, the sheer irony of it all.
Well,
brilliant.
We'll take an ad break now, and I'll use the Secret Sexy Club ID/interbrick bumper, as you would call it.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
And to my surprise, I stumbled across a secret sexy club.
Wow.
And we're back. Welcome back to the show, guys. It's the Abroad Japan podcast. We never put ad breaks in properly. I always just stick them in where I can.
Well, yeah. The ads on our podcast are basically just your voice talking in another podcast.
So. Yeah, pretty much. That seems to be the...
It doesn't even feel like a stretch to call it an ad. One day we'll have... Other ads, maybe. I don't know. We do it for fun. Right, so we've got some messages here through the Abroad Japan podcast, gmail.com, fax machine. The first one is from Jake. He says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. I am planning a holiday to Japan next year, and I was wondering how much it would cost to hire Chris as my personal tour guide for 2 weeks. Also, what website would you recommend I use to plan my trip to multiple cities in Japan? Keep up the good work. Jake from New Hampshire, USA.
I'm going to start a maid cafe where everyone is dressed as Chris Broad with Chris Broad masks. What? And they got to be nice to you and they've got to show you around town. Hire my Chris Broad. It's going to be
that
wonderful.
That sounds completely out of character, me being nice.
I know. If it was a
maid cafe under my name with my branding, yeah. You would walk in and then I would make some off-the-cuff sarcastic remark that's probably borderline an insult. Like, you'd probably walk in and be like, "What do you want? Why are you here? Come on then, come inside. What do you want to drink? Eat some food, have some pasta, have some fun, why don't you?" It'll be like that.
And then there'd be a Natsuki character that's nice and confusing and uses weird.
Yeah, the Natsuki would come out and cuddle you and pat you on the shoulder and smoke alongside you for 3 hours. 20 Marlboro cigarettes. If you were to hire me as a personal tour guide for 2 weeks, I would charge, I don't know really, $88,000.
Oh, yeah.
Times 14 days. Because I want to at least be the same price as Roland. The aforementioned king of hosts. I want to be at that level.
Yeah, definitely. And then you can get that plastic surgery you've always wanted.
That's right.
Make you look like a weird space boy.
Nose. I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably do something with my nose. I'll make my nose a bit better. And I always have bags under my eyes. People always comment on my videos saying I look distressed or tired or something, which, to be fair, I probably am. But so if I could take care of that issue, if I could get rid of the bags under my eyes and always look happy and awake, then that'd be
Well, I mean, check out my appearance on Chris's bike ride video daily video blog. You'll see a tired man who's jet lagged and got big old puffy eyes.
You'll see someone that really needs plastic surgery.
Exactly.
Actually, no, comments about you are always very flattering. They're always like, wow, Pete's better looking than I expected.
So, always get the self-depreciation in early, and then people can only be nice to you. on the narrative.
Exactly. Well, to Jake, I don't think I'm for hire as a personal tour guide. A lot of people actually ask me if I would do that, and I just don't have the time, and even if there was lots of money involved, I'd still be a crap tour guide. Like, I wouldn't be fun. I wouldn't be able to pull off the flirtatious banter of King Roland, and I wouldn't really be enthusiastic about things. I'd just sort of be like, oh, here's the biggest Starbucks in Kyoto and here's the best McDonald's. Look at the special burgers that are on offer at McDonald's this week. Yeah, let's have fun. That's basically all it would be.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see anything of real historic or cultural value. It would just be a disappointing tour of Japan. In fact, there's probably a market for that, a disappointing tour of Japan.
Yeah, definitely.
$88,000 a day. Money well
just,
spent.
You just stay in your
As
hotel.
For a website... Yeah, just yeah.
Sit in the
That'd
bath.
Be awful. Just me sitting in a bath and, yeah, that's not a tour. That's just me on an average evening. Websites for Japan, I guess there's Japan Guide. That's a very good website. I often use that. Japan Guide and Odigo, who I've worked with in the past. They have quite a cool website where it's all built around a map so you can plan out your trip on a map. So I like that.
Oh, cool.
But Japan Guide's also good. They've got a lot of good information there. Those are the two I'd go with, Odigo and Japan Guide. Do you have any, Pete, that you use? What do you use when you plan your trip in Japan?
I just put loads of stuff on Google Maps. I just put loads of
Google Maps.
Little pins everywhere, and then I forget which ones I've actually been to and get very confused.
There you go. Just do what Pete does.
Yeah.
Actually, Google's been quite good recently. If you go on Google Maps, you type in the city, there'll be like 10 things to do in the city as ranked by Google. So, yeah, I recommend that.
This time round, I'm going to be using a SIM card. I usually use one of those little Wi-Fi dongles, but this time I'm actually buying a Japanese SIM card to see. Getting unlimited data for like 2 weeks in Japan on a SIM card is actually quite difficult. They're always like limited by like 30 gigabytes or 20 gigabytes. I think maybe as high as 50 gigabytes. But if I sort of look at my how much I sort of use it and how much I would be using it while I was away, I mean, I'd be definitely smashing through 30 gigabytes very easily.
You reckon? I mean, yeah. I've only got 20 gigabytes a month on my phone in general. Like, what the hell are you using for your bloody phone for?
Oh, I don't know. Well, yeah.
No, I think 30 gigabytes is more than enough for a 2-week holiday, definitely.
Well,
unless you're going to be watching films and TV whilst travelling around Japan.
Got to have me EastEnders.
Why not? Got a message here from Steve Hall, who says, "Hello, Pete and Chris." Wow, it's one of the first emails where it's been the other way around for once.
Yes.
Usually it's hello, Chris and Pete.
Lennon
Pete
and McCartney.
1-0 to Pete.
McCartney and
after
Lennon.
28 weeks of doing podcasts. I was wondering, no, it's not 28 weeks. I don't know what it is. That was just a rough estimate. It's probably
I think we're episode 30, cracking on for 40, I think. Not too bad, is it?
Terrifying.
Terrifying.
I can't believe I've actually consistently done something for it. Hello, Pete and Chris. I was wondering if there's a tourist season in Japan and if there's a time of year with less people travelling to and from Japan. I'm asking because I work for an airline and can get good deals by travelling on standby. But if the flight is full, I can get booted off. I wouldn't want to get stranded in Japan when I need to be back at work. It's a very first world problem, I know. Ha ha ha. Steve Hall. Well, Steve, there is lots of good times and bad times to come to Japan. I wouldn't come to Japan in early May, late April, Golden Week, one of the largest holidays in Japan, where everyone just basically has a holiday for a week or two and the whole country comes to a standstill, and it's horrible. There's also Obon, the big holiday in August. Usually, I think it's the first or second week of August. You want to be not in Japan. Because the worst time to come to Japan is not when there's a tourist season, but when there's a domestic holiday, really. That's the worst time to come. Like, you've never encountered that, have you, Pete?
Last year you came
in September, which is a really good time to come. September, October, best time to come for my money.
I've only ever come in like sort of March, April time, and also September, October time. That's the only time I've ever travelled to Japan and back. I do have some experience travelling standby though, and because a lot of the flights are business, flights do get moved around quite a lot, and so I've been on standby before because my mate is used to work for British Airways, so I used to get like friends and family, and so I've like,
you lucky devil.
Oh, it was so good. So you'd pay like the best part of like 350-400 quid. You'd get on a so that would be like for a business class flight, and it'd be like 200 quid for a normal flight. But again, you'd get, so if you were in business and there was no business things, you'd get bumped down to economy. But even then, like, it's still a lot cheaper than, you know, £900, £1,000 to get out there. So I've never once not gotten what I've paid for, so to speak, when it comes to business class or economy, when it comes to getting to Japan and back.
Lucky devil.
Oh, it was amazing. And then he moved to not British Airways, so now he works for, like, a train company. It was very upsetting.
How will you be flying to Japan for the cycle in the run-up? Will you be coming first class?
No, I think I've said on the previous podcast shows, I was going to do an upgrade to business. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to get myself an upgrade to business. And then I rang them up and they went, yeah, it's going to be £4,000. I was like, I'm not going to do that. Absolute nonsense.
It is. For a 11, 12-hour flight, you're better off just taking some sleeping pills, sitting in economy, massively, and then going off to Narnia for 12 hours instead.
Definitely.
Yes. But there you go. Yeah, but there you go, Steve. Hopefully that's answered your question. The really worst time to come, May and August. Other than that, I'd say you're all good. Yeah, and I wouldn't come at August just because it's too damn hot. And the winter's a bit too cold. I'd avoid December and January as well. But other than that, best of luck. Have a great time. And if you guys have any questions to send to us in the Abroad Japan podcast at gmail.com, do so. Send your questions, send your comments, send your stories. But for now, that is all. We'll be back same time next week on Wednesday. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have a great week and we'll see you then. Bye for now.
Bye. Can anyone get me on their friends and family? I'll be here. Cheers.
Scrounger. Scrounger.
It's so good, though.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.